Let me ask you something. When a young couple has been married for several years and then they have a baby, do you think their lives are the same or different? You may now laugh, okay? Been there, done that, got the scars to show for it. No, not the scars. It's really something how it changes a family dynamics when a young couple has children, right? Things are never the same. I suspect we all know that a baby coming into a family is disruptive. Being a parent changes what? Well, it changes your time. It changes your finances. It changes your routine. It just changes everything, doesn't it? Your priorities, your sense of what's important changes everything. In fact, I know some married couples who choose to put off having children or decide not to have children at all precisely because they know how disruptive that is, and they don't want that intrusion in their lives. Well, think about disruption today as we look again at this guy named Joseph and what was read for us just a little while ago by Monty. Only Matthew tells us about Joseph, who was engaged to be married to Mary. And Matthew says that a heavenly angel came to Joseph with this rather disturbing news. Joe, your fiance, you know, Mary, well, she's expecting a baby, and you're not the father. What? Oh, come on. How could news like that not be anything but a kick in the gut, you know? Have you ever gotten news that was so alarming that you felt like your blood was coagulating in your body? You know, I've had that happen before. It doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good at all. This is a horrible moral problem for Joseph. Now, I realize that in the modern United States, each year, more than a million young ladies, teenagers, get pregnant out of wedlock. And so this kind of news has probably lost a lot of its punch for us. But I guarantee you that in a closely knit first century Jewish community that was very small and very close, this was scandalous big news. Bad news, as a matter of fact. You know what their law said, right? Their law regarded an engaged woman who got pregnant. She was to be stoned to death. That was the penalty to be meted out. So Joseph wondered, should he just quietly divorce this girl? After all, both he and she would be subject to ridicule and humiliation, and he just didn't want that for in either of them. What about this angel news? Merry Christmas, Joseph! I don't think he thought it was very merry. Joseph is probably so stunned that he probably can't even say, what the? Look at the Christmas cards that you are receiving this year, or think about the Christmas cards that you've received in the past, and you'll notice how a majority of the cards use a particular word. And that word is peace. How many Christmas cards did you have on them that said peace? Peace is probably the most frequently word used to describe Christmas. In fact, even in this day and time, you may not even see the word Christmas on the card, but you will see the word peace. And of course, that's very, very appropriate to use because, you know, in the promise of the prophet Isaiah, he called Jesus what? The Prince of Peace. And Jesus does come to give peace. But if we pay attention to the angel's pronouncement today, would you say that he was bringing peace to Joseph? No, he was bringing disruption. He was bringing problems. He was bringing chaos. But you wouldn't say that he was bringing peace. The Bible tells us that when old Simeon, the prophet, saw Jesus in the temple when he was 8 days old and his parents were bringing him to be dedicated to the Lord, Simeon saw him and he had an insight or realization as to who he was. Did he go over to the baby and pray a sweet little prayer over him? as I've done many, many times with a couple in the hospital as they've been blessed to have a baby, and oh Lord, bless this child and thank you for his or her life and bless his parents. And what did Simeon pray? Well, Simeon prayed for salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And then he warned Mary. He said to her, "A sword will pierce your soul too." Whoa. That doesn't sound like peace in Simeon's prayer. And then Mary sings a song right after that in the gospel. And what does she sing? A lullaby? No. Read her prayer carefully again, and you'll find that it's more like a war chant of thanks about political rulers overthrown and proud men scattered. You know, her song doesn't sound like peace. And how does the Bible tell us that King Herod took the news of the birth of Jesus? "The one who is born king of the Jews," the wise men said. We've come looking for him. Herod, have you seen him?" What was Herod's reaction? Oh, I'm so glad that Mary and Joseph have had a baby. I think I'll send over a card and a little gift for the little fella." Is that what Herod said? No. Herod found this new king to be a threat. And he said, "I'm going to do everything I can to kill this kid." And he killed a lot of other children trying to kill this kid. And he was some kind of angry about it, and he's caused some kind of problems in his kingdom because of the threat. So much so that Mary and Joseph had to leave the country and head to where? Egypt. They didn't want to live in Egypt, but they had to get gone. I bet that was a lot of fun, huh? No. Not a very peaceful situation here when Jesus Christ is born. Back to Joseph and his first reaction to the news. Matthew tells us that what's Joseph's first attempt to do? This has gotten complicated. So I think I'll just simplify things, okay? I'll just divorce her. We'll do it quietly behind the scenes. Nobody has to know about it. That's the way I'll handle it and simplify it. And then the angel confuses it even more by telling Joseph in so many words, this is God's plan. He's been preparing to do this for a long time. It's in the Old Testament, in the scriptures. God wants this done. Really? Yes, really. Matthew wants us to all get a grip on a different sort of Christmas greeting. And it basically says, into this messed up world comes the Son of God, but in a different way than anybody expected. And if it seems as if whatever God wants to fix in this world can't be fixed without disrupting things even more. And that's what's going on here. Disruption. Jesus is given a name here, right? The name Emmanuel, which Matthew tells us what it means. It means God with us. What does that mean for you and me today? God with us. Well, consider the real life experience of a lady named Alice. In the early fall of one year, her husband walked out on her and left Alice with the kids, and with barely enough money to make it through the rest of the month. Alice didn't have a job because she had quit working at the factory when the twins were born. What on earth was Alice going to do? Well, fortunately, her church moved into action. Volunteers stepped up to help with childcare. People quietly made financial contributions. And by early December, Alice had a job, and things were looking up. Now, Alice told her pastor, "My new world is much more demanding than my old world. I loved the old world. I thought that was the best I could do. When that world came apart, I thought I was going to die. But the new world I've been given is better than the old world I thought I had to have. In fact, my divorce may be the best thing God's given me yet." Does that sound strange to you? Does that sound odd? How can somebody say that a tragedy can be a gift? How can someone believe that a confusing, frightening, weird situation might just be a visit by Almighty God? Well, perhaps That comes about from the gift of seeing what happened to so many people in the Bible. Happened in the Old Testament. It happened a lot in the New Testament. When God came into their lives, he came to very ordinary people and he busted up their lives. He messed up their lives. They had plans, they had careers, they had a track that they were going on, but God shows up and all that's disrupted. All that's messed up. And he veers them off into his purposes, his plans, not only for that person, but for changing the world for the better. People in the Bible and people today often find out that they're not handed first from God peace, but they're handed disruption. Look again at the stack of Christmas cards you're getting this year, and how many symbols have edged their way into this celebration? And how many times you'll see a landscape scene on a Christmas card? And what is it usually? A New England village, you know, covered in snow, usually a horse-drawn sleigh in there somewhere. Or what other kind of images are there? A whole lot of animals are in Christmas, and the animals are frolicking around. And there's reindeer. And not only reindeer, but there's chipmunks, and there's raccoons, and there's pretty little cardinals, and even cute little gray mice. Aren't mice cute? Don't you love having mice run around your house? Yeah. But we've transformed these into Christmas mice, and so they're just darling little fellows. And inside there's words, sunny, happy words, like love and goodwill and cheer, season's greetings, and all these warm, fuzzy words, right? But if we understand how the birth of Jesus hit Joseph, how the birth of Jesus hit Mary, and a whole lot of other people, it's like a ton of bricks. And we begin to see how sanitized Christmas has become and how the real thing is really, what word? Disruptive. Michael Frost, in his book, Seeing God in the Ordinary, tells about a church where an unusual event occurred one Christmas Eve service. A woman in the congregation had been asked to sing a solo, and she chose to sing Bette Midler's pop hit, From a Distance. You know that song, From a Distance, and I can't sing it. I won't sing it for you. But you know how the chorus goes? After each chorus, it sings, From a distance, God is watching us from a distance. Well, after several rounds of this chorus, there was a woman in the front row who just had all she could take. And she suddenly jumped up and began singing to the same tune, but with the words, God came near to us. God came near to us. God came near to us at Christmas. You know, can you blame her for doing that? You know, our faith rests on the truth that this Almighty God came close in Jesus Christ, came close and spoke to us in Jesus Christ. And if the faith is to be passed on into the world today, it's because people like you and people like me are going to move close to other people and speak and share the good news and show the good news to others. It comes from being close, not from a distance. We can't do Christianity from a distance. We get up close and we get personal. Oh, but I might disrupt somebody's life. It might disrupt our relationship. Hello, this is a God of disruptions. No surprise. Try it. Go out in faith. Do it. You'd just be doing what God does. Philip Yancey says that when the Jesuit missionary Matteo Ricci went to China in the 16th century, he brought along samples of religious art to illustrate for the Chinese people what the Christian stories were all about, what Christianity is all about. He brought works of art. Well, the Chinese people really took to the portraits of the Virgin Mary, you know, with her child and little baby Jesus. Just loved those pictures. And then he showed them later the pictures of the crucifixion, and explained how this Son of God had come into the world like this, yeah, but he grew up to be a man, and they killed him. They executed him. Well, the audiences would react with revulsion and horror at that. They much preferred the virgin and insisted on worshiping her rather than the crucified Son of God. Can you blame them? Actually, we have that preference too. We really have that preference too. Listen to this guy who grows up and he says stuff like this. It's in the New Testament. You can read it for yourself. Jesus said, "I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword." A sword? "I've come to turn father against son, mother against daughter." That doesn't sound like a family, happy family life at all. Now, here was a man who never raised a sword against other people, and even in self-defense, and he didn't allow his followers to use the sword either. No, that's not what he's talking about. But he openly called his message a sword, and a sword of division, not peace. He also said, "I have come to cast fire on the earth. Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Those are direct quotes from Jesus Christ. You can believe him when he said it, okay? "I didn't come to bring you peace, not at first, but division." So when Christians talk about the Prince of Peace, they've got to understand how Jesus brings peace. Often first with disruption and despair and confusion, but then later they recognize, no, this is the way to peace. We see it in the birth of Jesus. We see it all through his life. And now you and I are to experience that today. We really are. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if you already know and you already sense that this is the way God works in people's lives. And that's why you haven't invited him in. And that's why you're keeping him at arm's length. Because you know, man, when God engages a human life, he really disrupts things. And I like things the way they are. And I have my idea of the way life should be lived. And I have my plans. And I want to do this and I want to do that. Man, if I let God in, he might mess it up. Yeah, he just might. But this is the way it is. And you know what? You can go your way if you want to, but you won't find peace. You can have things your way if you want to. You're a free will human being, but it won't work. Not till we let Jesus disrupt us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we say we want you. We say we want life, your life. We say we want peace, your peace. But Lord, we don't really know what we're talking about. Open our eyes, Lord, to the way that you come to us. And we just want to trust you through the disruptions. We know we just have to believe in you, that you're leading us in the ways that you want us to go. Lord, I pray that every heart in this room might be encouraged by knowing that and knowing that you're a good God and what you're up to. Let us be disrupted, Lord, if it has us move where we need to go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.